I want to talk to you about Joseph's dreams today. Not the Joseph in Genesis, but the Joseph in Matthew. The Joseph in Matthew. We already had some scriptures that have outlined a little bit of what I'm going to read again. But Joseph, the natural father of Jesus, had four dreams. And we're going to talk about those and how God speaks to us through dreams today. You know, when you hear the word dream, really you got to qualify it. What do you mean by dream? Because there's we call the word dream, you know, now lay me down to sleep and all of a sudden I have this incredible vision or images or storyline, or maybe I'm processing something in my life and it comes out in a dream and you wake up and you go, was that real or not real? Oh, thank God it was a dream, right? I remember after graduating from college, I had dreams I was still in college and failing. It's like I wake up, oh, whew, I graduated, thank God, you know. You just get visited upon at different times, but yet there's also another way we use dreams, and that is goals that we have, or maybe that God puts in us a desire to accomplish and do something. We call that a dream as well. And in this case, though, we're going to look at how God spoke to Joseph through a now lay me down to sleep dream. And the Lord spoke to him, and he realized it was God, and he went up and he went and did what the Lord told him to do through the dream. So we start in Matthew chapter 1 at verses 17 and 18, kind of the backdrop, and then we'll look at these four dreams of Joseph. Matthew 18 and 19, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, some translations say a righteous man, others say a just man, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. What a gigantic dilemma to be in. You want everything right, wholesome, pure before God, and suddenly Mary comes and brings you this news, I'm already pregnant. What do you do with that? What an incredible, it's almost like I call it an immoral missile came into your relationship. Because you wanted it done right before God and before His laws, and all of a sudden now, what do we do with this one? He understood what the law said. He understood how the culture handled that. And yet that was not in his heart, but he needed to adhere to the law. He was a just person. He was a righteous person. He wanted to do what was right. And so he's pondering this, and now I lay me down to sleep. And suddenly God comes to him in dream number one. I call it receive the gift God is giving. Dream number one. It says, but after he considered this, he's considering, I think I'll just divorce her quietly rather than shame her publicly. That was kind of his conclusion. But after he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you were to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until after she gave birth to a son. And they gave him the name Jesus. Again, Joseph is in a dilemma. He wants to do the right thing. He knows what the law says. He knows what culture is expecting. He has Mary's word at that point, but then he has a dream. And in the dream, there's actually two levels of authority that comes to him in the dream. One is the angel. If an angel shows up in your dream, you better pay attention. I mean, it's one thing just to have a dream, but he knew that an angel showed up. So here's a level of authority that he wasn't expecting. And the angel commands him to take Mary as his wife. But then the angel goes on and said, Joseph, as you do that, you are also fulfilling prophecy. So it's another authority coming through in the dream saying that Isaiah has prophesied this, and now it is coming true. And so suddenly Joseph is not just having to trust Mary. Now the angel is saying that, and now prophecy is coming true. And so the scripture says, in two or three witnesses to the same truth, you can believe it. And so he decided that he would accept what the angel was saying and believe that prophecy was coming true that verified the same thing that Mary was saying. And he decided to overrun what he thought the law was and even what culture was expecting and receive Mary as his wife. I was diving into this thing of justice, and I thought to myself, what really is justice? And I found that there's really three levels of justice. The first level is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You do me wrong, I do you wrong, we're even, right? That's a level of justice, isn't it? Sometimes that's how the world functions. That's the only way they know to do justice, is if you do me wrong, I do you wrong, and then we count it even, and we're just. But there's another level of justice, and that is if I have to do it, then y'all have to do it too. I mean, I don't have to be responsible myself. Everybody else has to do what I'm doing, and therefore, that's a level of justice as well. We call it social justice today. Everybody needs to be the same, and everybody do the same thing, regardless of whether they're into it or not, but that's a level of justice. But then there's a third level, and that is, you did wrong, but I am going to release you from the wrong that you're doing and not give you the penalty of what you deserve. That's also a level of justice. You see, we think that God only operates at the third level of justice, but I don't believe so. I believe that God operates at all three. Sometimes he takes our enemies out. Sometimes he says, yeah, we all need to do the same thing and we all need to come together in this. And other times he doesn't give us what we deserve to have, and that's a level of justice as well. God delivers all three levels. And so Joseph was probably in the middle level. He was thinking the culture demands that Mary and I get a divorce. But then the angel and the prophecy brought him into the next level, the deeper level, and said, maybe you don't understand it. Maybe you can't comprehend it. But release Mary and take her in as your wife. That's justice, equally as well as the others. And Joseph agreed and decided to, as a part of fulfilling this dream. He obeyed it. So prophecy was fulfilled. The second dream that Joseph have, we need to hit the time-lapse photography button and go forth 9 months, Jesus is born, another year possibly, and the wise men show up. So we've zoomed ahead now almost 2 years until the second dream that he has. The wise men show, and then they ask Herod, where is he born king of the Jews? And Herod's like, find this king. I want to worship him. But in reality, he wants to kill him. And so we have the second dream that takes place. I call dream number two, run from impending danger. Run from impending danger. In Matthew 2:13, it says, when they, the wise men, had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Again, another angel. Get up, he said, and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. For there, stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. Wow, what a dream. What would you do if you had that one? Get up in the middle of the night, clean out the fridge, pack the bags, saddle up the donkeys, get out of here. What? You know, get out of Dodge, let's go. Would you obey that quickly? Joseph did. My hat's off to him. I'm not sure I would that quick, but he understood, again, the angel coming to him in this dream that he needed to move, and he needed to move fast. Now, as a result of that, again, he was obeying Scripture. Prophecy was being fulfilled as a result of him being getting up and moving into Egypt outside of the jurisdiction of Herod killing the babies around Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger. Prophecy was fulfilled, first in Jeremiah, and then stated again in Matthew 17 and 18. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they were no more. What a horrible moment in history. Can you imagine? If someone would come in and hear about a king being born in Winchester, Frederick County, and kill all the babies, 2 years old and younger, because they were a threat to him. Very sad moment. And yet Joseph escaped that, took baby Jesus, went to Egypt, middle of the night, obeyed immediately, got up, the dream, gone. The third dream that Joseph has is they're down in Egypt. And Herod dies. And again, it says that in Matthew 19 through 20, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord, again, three times, we've got an angel in each dream so far. An angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." How long was Joseph and Mary and Jesus in Egypt? Great question. We don't know exactly, but we do have documented in secular history that Herod died in 4 AD. So if he died through secular history, that was his drop-dead date, no pun intended. But that was the time recorded that he died. So therefore, it gives us some small inkling of the timetable. So if you kind of, again, you kind of look at where we're at and consider that date, they could have been in Egypt anywhere from 2 months to 1 year. So it wasn't necessarily that long period of time, but it was a significant period of time that they were away until the danger ended. As a result of that, prophecy is fulfilled again. And it's recorded first in Hosea 11:1, and then Matthew pulls it forward in chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "He stayed until the death of Herod, so it was fulfilled that the Lord said, through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son." So again, every time Joseph had a dream, he obeyed the dream, he was fulfilling Scripture. Whether he knew that or not, I don't know, but we know it now. Now we come to dream 4. Dream 3 is really about return to the promised land, and dream 4, again, is reside in a place of peace. This is a fascinating dream, the fourth one, because it's not as clear-cut as the first three. You don't have an angel showing up in a fourth dream, and yet it's equally as powerful. You also don't have such clear instructions in this fourth dream as you do in the other three. It almost like it gives Joseph some leeway in order to decide where he wants to live, even though he goes to Nazareth. Now, why would he go to Nazareth? Well, again, the scripture says that this dream that him living in Nazareth was to fulfill the prophet that said he will be called a Nazarene. However, you can't find that in the Old Testament. You can't find that specific quote, "He will be called a Nazarene," in the Old Testament. So what do we have here? Well, you have, first of all, Joseph and Mary. They lived in Nazareth before they went to Bethlehem and had a baby. So they moved to Bethlehem and they had the baby because that was Joseph's hometown and that's where his relatives were. You know, we as Americans, we think that if we can spend perhaps, make it a meal with our relatives, we're doing really good, and we're good for another year, you know. Our length of understanding the value of being with family and how long we stay is really short. If we can make it a day, wow, we made it a day. Or we made it a weekend. But other cultures are not like that. They're like, "Oh, if I'm going to spend time with my family, I'm going to stay there for 3 to 6 months." You're like, whoa, that's just not American at all. But other cultures value being with relatives. And so Joseph and Mary, again, they were living in Nazareth. They went to Bethlehem. They were among Joseph's relatives. And so they stayed there because they were among friends, among relatives, people he grew up with. And they stayed there for a long time being with family. And again, as he comes back, what happened? Again, let me just read it here for you. Is it says that when he came out of Egypt, back to the promised land, when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of the father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. Again, it says he was warned in a dream. Don't go there. He was actually concerned or troubled in his spirit about going there as well, and the dream confirmed that. So again, that can happen. We're troubled about something. Do we live here? Do we go here? Do we do this? And then we have a dream, and God clarifies what it is that we should do. When we started Crossroads, probably about a year into it, we were affiliated with actually two different networks in our life. One was the church that I came out of, and another was the denomination that we were in at the time. And I realized that that being affiliated with both wasn't working quite, but I didn't know what to do. And so at that time, we started exploring the oversight that we have now through Dove International. We started having conversations and meet. And still, I was kind of perplexed because I had relationship in both of these current ones. I didn't really have relationship in the new one yet. I was open to it and believing that a lot of what they said we could learn from and grow from, but I really didn't know. And so one night I had lay me down to sleep. One night I had this dream. And the dream was there were three horses lined up. There was one, two, three. I'm riding on a saddle in the middle horse, and I have my foot in the stirrup of each of the side horses. Yes, I woke up, ouch. I think I felt it. But I knew clearly what God was saying do. He was saying, you have your foot in the stirrup of these other two affiliations. You need to pull your feet out of that and ride the horse that I'm giving you, and that's who we connected up with, and it's been a beautiful ride ever since. So again, it's just a very practical way that God sometimes has worked in my life to actually give me instructions, and they've happened through a dream. And I wake up and I know exactly what to do. So here we have Joseph, again, he's walking through this dicey time in his life, and the three dreams were very specific about what to do and when to do, but he had to obey in order to get the fruit of the dream. But the last dream seemed to have a little bit of, I don't know if I want to live there. Yeah, that's not a good idea. Where should we go? Well, it makes sense. Go back to Nazareth. So what about the prophecy that's unclear? Well, there's actually veiled references to Nazareth being the kind of town that you really want to be from but not live there. One of those, you know, labels of they're just backwoods people. They're just on the other side of the tracks. They're just rejected people. They're just people that don't quite have it right. They're just roughneck people. That's the Nazarene people. And yet, that's where God wanted his son to grow up. Because he knew that there would be other people in life that would feel rejected, that would feel despised, that would feel like they've been labeled as the other side of the tracks and never quite live up or get over or be accepted. And God said, that's where I want my son to grow up so that he can identify with all kinds of walks of life of people. And as a result of that, it's the association with Nazareth that then gets picked up. You remember Nathanael in 1 John when he first met Jesus, he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That's a disgusting town to be from. And yet that's where Jesus was from, so that he can relate to anybody. He was a king, born in a stable. He was God's son, grew up in a roughneck town. But yet he came to relate and redeem to everybody in life. Those that were rich, those that were poor, those that were anywhere in between, Jesus can relate to you and me. And Joseph is, again, making practical decisions, but yet he's also fulfilling prophecy. And you and I do the same thing. When you and I obey the Lord, when He speaks to us, whether it comes out of His Word or it's something that we receive in our spirit, when we obey the Lord, we actually fulfill His Word. We fulfill things that are written down here about His promises and His provision and His ability to receive and value who we are. We actually receive that today in our walk, just like Joseph did. As he obeyed, prophecy was fulfilled. And as we obey, what God has prophesied over our lives is fulfilled as we obey Him as well. So I kind of have a summary comment there. And that is, the practical and the prophetic are linked together through obedience. As Joseph practically obeyed, the prophetic was being fulfilled. It requires both. Now, in these four dreams, there's kind of what I call an outline to life. And that is this. The outline is, first of all, God wanted to give Joseph a gift in the fact that he would be the earthly father of the Son of God. He wanted to give Joseph a gift. And Joseph didn't know he wanted it. He didn't know if he wanted the responsibility. But then through a dream, an angel spoke to him and said, "Don't be afraid. Receive the gift." God wants to give you a gift this morning. He wants to give you salvation. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you faith. He wants to give you assurance. He's got a gift to give each one of us today. And we have to be ready to receive it. And maybe it'll take a dream for you to receive it. I don't know. Maybe not. But that's the first thing doing life. He wants to give you something, and we have to be ready to receive it. The second dream that Joseph had, he ran from danger. And sometimes there's influences in our life that we need to run from. James said, flee the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and the devil will part, because God is in charge of your life. Sometimes there's things that we have to break from because they're dangerous around us. They rob us. And we have to wake up and say, wait a minute, that relationship or that person or that which I'm watching or that which I'm doing, that's who I'm connected to. I need to run the other way. But then the third dream comes along and says, now, if you're fleeing from something, you need to return back to what God has for you. That's the third dream. I want you to return back to the promised land, because I've got something for you in the promised land, the promises that I have that you weren't privy to before. You didn't know if you wanted to receive. You're running, but now come back, return. And then the fourth dream says reside. Reside in a place of peace. Figure out where that is. Joseph, it insinuated that he had the freedom to live where he wanted to, but it just made natural sense. I'm going back to Nazareth. And yet, God knew he would make that choice. But if you're not at the place of peace, search around. Search around. Maybe it's finding the right church. Maybe it's finding the right friends. Maybe it's finding a group that you can feel accepted and grow in. Find that place of peace. Joseph did. And we can too. And sometimes it takes searching. It takes figuring it out. It's not something as clear cut as the first three dreams. But it's still just as valid to reside in the place of peace in your life. Which dream reflects where your life is at right now? Is God trying to give you something and you're questioning whether or not it's from Him or real? Is there something you need to run from, break from? Is there someone you need to return to? And are you residing in a place of peace? It's a question. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the ways that you've been speaking this morning. And as we have highlighted here, the earthly father of Joseph, what an incredible godly man he was. The integrity that he operated his life by, and the way that you so delicately and accurately came in to speak to him in a way that he could understand. Perhaps he couldn't get it through the normal conversations, that he had to go to sleep. And then you came and brought him the answer in his dreams. Lord, let us not limit you today in how you might speak. In fact, you said that when you poured out your spirit, that your young men would dream dreams and your old men see visions. As the Holy Spirit would come and empower the church, there were those that had significant dreams that led them and guided them, and sometimes we're so easy to dismiss the fact of what you might be saying in a dream. Father, let us understand that dreams need to be interpreted, and you were so faithful to bring in the fact that prophecy was being fulfilled as you shared direction in the dream. Lord, I'm grateful that you've led me at times through dreams, and they've been you. So God, thank you that you are the one that wants to guide and lead us, and we want to be your people in the times in which we live. Lord, I pray there's some here this morning that have not yielded to you, that they would receive the gift of salvation this morning. Open up your heart. Say, God, come in. Be Lord. There's something that needs to be broken from. We'd have the courage to say, I'm not going to go back there. We'd also realize that you're calling us to return to something greater than what we had before, and to find that place of peace and to reside in it. Thank you, God, that you're a complete, comprehensive God. And we welcome you to lead and guide us as your people in this day and time for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.